You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Truffin, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about 5 reasons why 90% of YouTube channels fail and how you can join the 10% that thrive. We're going to be talking about mindset, niching down. We're going to be talking about where to focus, and we're also going to be talking about consistency as well as community.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Truffin.
Of the episode, I turn over to my co-host and say hi. He is actually still on paternity leave, so really excited for him to be able to have opportunity to spend time with his new daughter. And honestly, that's kind of what we talk about, right? Freedom in our time. I think it's really, really cool that he has the opportunity to do just that. And that's also something for me that I really had a huge focus on for a long time, which is being able to have a lot more control for myself. So I figured, let me quickly just kind of share with some people who maybe haven't heard of me before or a little bit newer to the podcast. My name is Dennis, like I mentioned. I've been doing YouTube for about 7.5 years. I run multiple YouTube channels, kind of all focused in the same platform of really helping people out. And a lot of it is just stemmed from what I teach here as well, which is creating passive income. And so for all of the channels that I run, they're all in different niches, but they all provide evergreen content for people because I love being able to create things on my own terms. I don't like feeling rushed when I'm doing the things that I want to do, but it also is allowing me to have the income that I have so I can do the things that I want to do. So for me, it's really actually kind of interesting because I technically started the main channel that has really thrived and became really big back in 2017. And before that, I actually had YouTube channels over different niches that ended up not panning out for me for a multitude of reasons, for good reasons, honestly. But I'm really glad I had those test runs to really take off on the channel that ended up becoming what now allows me to do all the things that I can do. But for those that are listening that are just getting started, if you've tested out YouTube before and it didn't work out and you're trying again, like, that's totally great. Like, it's happened to me. It's happened to a lot of other YouTubers as well. And I think for a lot of us, you know, at least for me included, the reason I started the main channel that is now what is known as True Financials, the reason I actually started that was because every time I talk about finance with the people in my life, you know, they would kind of listen a little bit, but then get really bored about the topic pretty quickly. And so I really wanted to just have a space where I can have these conversations with people that I you know, that were also interested in having the conversations with me. And I found YouTube to be a great platform for that. And it's kind of why also this podcast exists, because I love talking about YouTube and creating passive income, creating evergreen content, being really search engine optimized. And that's not really a popular topic of conversation at parties. And so I wanted to have this space here to be able to do this as well. And so it's really fun that when I take passions of mine and share them with the world, that there are other people that kind of relate to that as well too. So if you're somebody that's, you know, tried it a couple times, and hopefully this podcast is one that's rejuvenizing you to like go back out and really take action on that, or you're learning on the ways of like creating this passive income by really focusing on evergreen content, this is really important stuff, right? And what we're going to be getting into on the main topic here today as well is going to be essentially in that space as well, to help guide you through, honestly, sometimes the tough stuff that comes with building out a YouTube channel, because it's not super easy, as most people would know. I think the average YouTube channel, once they get started, like lasts anywhere from 3 to 6 months at most, and then people give up. And that's how I kind of got to that like 90%. But when I was like doing the research for this episode, is that like, it's just so many people end up giving up in this process. And I wanted to be like a guiding light, so to speak, when it comes to people continuing, because I know what the other side looks like once you do get to that point, and also the difficulties and the mud that you go through to get to that as well. So I'm hoping that in today's episode, when you're listening in, you're really taking in a lot of this information. You know, sometimes people will hear things and like not agree with it, or, you know, kind of fight against it. And that's perfectly okay. Just make sure that you're coming at it with not your egos, but also with the opportunity to be winning. Right? Because one of the biggest issues that I had, and I've shared this story in past episodes as well, is even after I went full time on YouTube, I wasn't doing what I'm doing today, even at that point yet, which was more tutorial based content and more evergreen. And there was a part of my ego that just didn't let me thrive on YouTube because I wanted to be right rather than win. And it was a very interesting time in my experience through YouTube. And I cried about it for a couple of months with my community. And once I kind of got over that hump, I pivoted my content, pushed my ego aside, and ended up resulting in some amazing performance on the channel, income, and opportunities that came with it as well too. So, you know, if that's any light for anybody listening here as well too, just know that when we just kind of like get that ego moved over a little bit there, we have some really big opportunities to win rather than always having to be right. So with that being said, let's go ahead and actually get into the show today. All right. So 5 reasons why 90% of YouTube channels fail and how to join the 10% that thrive. This is exciting. This is the kind of episode for me that I needed probably when I was going through the process of building out my YouTube channel. And there were some people out there at the time that were supporting content creators, but definitely not in this kind of space where we talked about like mindset, where we talked about, you know, niching a little bit more and really getting into like the why of things not happening for people. And first and foremost, you know, when we go over this, like these are my experiences. These are the things I've seen from a lot of other content creators. Doesn't mean it's always for everybody, but I think for a majority of people, you know, when we look at that like 90% failure rate on YouTube, that seems really high. But when you look at the numbers, like being that part of that 10%, you know, will yield you incredible results long term, especially if you're wanting to create passive income like I did, right? Like where maybe you're not like famous, maybe you're not like super popular or anything like that, but you are effective. And that's the way I like to kind of look at it too. Where when I first started YouTube, I thought I was going to be kind of like famous in some capacity at some point, but ended up learning out that like, actually, if I sit back and let the videos do the work, that I could just become more passive in what I'm doing, but be really impactful. And that's what I really like to do. So, you know, going over this, I think the biggest thing is mindset, right? So when you're going through this process, and depending on where you are in your journey, right? If you've been doing YouTube content for a little while or you're trying to get started, mindset's such a big thing because a lot of people don't even get over the hump of even just getting started because of the fear of failure. And I mentioned earlier at the beginning of this podcast that I actually had multiple YouTube channels that had failed before I made the successful one that I have today, plus all the other ones that I've tested out and thrive now. And so for me, I think the mindset of getting over that hump of not getting started is very crucial, but it is very important to realize that this is a really big avenue for us when it comes to getting started is actually just getting started. Like just put the content out. It doesn't matter how it looks. I actually have it on here. It's like start ugly because that is so crucial to this whole journey because we have this mindset that everything needs to look good. We need to have this perfectionism thing played out. It's no one's going to see your content. Like I'm just going to be honest, right? And I have to kind of be, you know, pretty blunt about that part because a lot of people have this interesting fear of like, oh, well, if I make this content, everyone's going to like see the video. Most likely, statistically, no. No one's going to most likely see those videos. You might get a couple, you know, 100 views on a video at most. Maybe you might have one that hits 1,000 in your first couple of videos. But for the majority of content creators, when you get started, like you're really building from nothing for the most part. So you actually have the luxury of nobody knowing who you are. So you have the luxury of just putting things out there and then getting your feet wet so you can actually mold yourself into the content creator that you will become. Because whenever you get on screen for the first time is not who you're going to be 100 videos from now, right? I always tell people, I love if you go back to any YouTuber's content that's been out for a long time and go look at their earliest videos compared to where they are now, it's night and day, night and day. So a lot of times we need to start ugly before we can really get to where we want to be. And if you don't even get over the hump of getting started, you're not even going to be statistically in that 90% failure. You're just going to be 100% guaranteed not to win. Right? So we got to get started, get to start ugly. And I think for a lot of people, what ends up happening with this mindset of theirs, when they start releasing videos, right, they start paying really close attention to how these videos are doing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the results, but they're going to be really looking at these things. And then they get demotivated by the performance of these videos because there's some interesting expectation that we put on ourselves based off of other people's performance and how we should also be showing up. And so for me, I really tell people, and I really strive this to a really hard point, which is don't honestly care about what's going on with anybody else. Just focus on you getting better as a performer on camera, or how you show up on camera, or how you present your information, right? For us here, we talk a lot about like evergreen content. So our thing is, how are you making sure that the content you're making today is so relevant for them 5-10 years down the road, right? Because if you're teaching people a certain description of something or how to do something, it's going to be relevant for years to come. And what's really hard about that, really, really hard about that, is that most of the time, those take a long time to generate the right views to then start building up traction. And so people give up before that ever happens, because it could be months down the road before videos really start to take off. And like I told you earlier, a lot of times people quit between the 3 and 6 month marker of starting a YouTube channel, which you're not even playing in the game yet. Like you're on the sidelines getting coached those first 3 to 6 months. And so for me, I think it's really crucial that for people to see success, like you get to stick with it, even if it doesn't feel like things are moving in the right direction. Now, I will be, you know, saying this truthfully, if you are going through this process and you don't like the journey it takes to make content, that might spell different information out for you. But if you love making the content but not loving the results yet, you have massive opportunity to continue to improve over time, so long as you stick with it. So staying consistent is going to be a really, really, really big thing. Now, as you're going through this process, you also need to make sure that you're seeing YouTube as a business and not just a hobby. Now, if you want to do this as a hobby, there's nothing wrong with that by all means. But I don't know if you'd be listening to this podcast about creating passive income if you just wanted this as a hobby. So I'm going to assume you want to make money off of this channel and you want to potentially make this as your full-time gig, or even a really good healthy income from the side while you have other career opportunities. And for that, you get to see this as a business. And a business, in order to stay sustainable, needs to bring in income, right? Whether that is through ad revenue from YouTube, whether that's affiliate marketing, which we have separate episodes about, or if you are actually going through the process and making your own products to sell to your audience as well. Again, the biggest thing about this, if you look at statistically from most businesses, you're not typically making a profit in most businesses early on. So you really have to know when going in that it's going to take time to build out. But if you see this from a business opportunity, money coming in means you get to reinvest in the business. You get to see opportunities structured out that you are actually going to want to build things out long term. This is a business, right? We want to see it that way. So make sure that you see that. And if you're not somebody who's like business savvy, that's totally okay. You get to learn as you grow throughout this process, just as much as you would when it comes to creating the content. And that's one of the most interesting parts about this whole mindset, is that we have our mindset on a lot of different avenues to be able to become a content creator. And what's nice is as you build out your business, you get to also pass certain skill sets off to other people once you start building out that income. So see YouTube as a business. Make sure that you start ugly. Make sure you actually just start, because that's a big thing. And if you're in the midst of that 3 to 6 month time period and you're listening to this, I encourage you to just keep going, keep doing it, even if it feels like nothing is progressing, so long as you're using the Kaizen method, which is improving 1% at a time. So make sure that maybe you're improving your audio, maybe you're improving your presentation, maybe you're improving your research, maybe you're improving other avenues of your business. So that way you can continue to grow, even if you're not seeing the results in real time, because a lot of times it's a lagging indicator for your results to show up versus the impact that you're trying to make on the content that you're doing today. So with that being said, there's also another really hard part when it comes to this mindset, and that is the comparison mindset. It is really, really tough. And I will be honest here, I ran into this myself as well when I started doing content on YouTube with my first channel, which was comparing myself to everybody else. And it was really, really tough. There was even a point where I was in a mastermind with other content creators around my niche, and we were doing similar videos. And one of the content creators and I made almost the exact same video. Like, we pretty much actually even talked about making the videos and posting them at the same time, because there was some benefits to it. And his video blew up, got over 100,000 views, which was, I think, his first one that had happened back in like 2018, 2019. And my video got a couple hundred, maybe close to 1,000 views within the first couple days. And it was really gut-wrenching to like compare myself to him. And I even cried about it a little bit. I like kind of like got disappointed, not at him or anything else, but just more at me. And like, I really beat myself up about like, why couldn't I get those kind of numbers? And, you know, looking back at it now and like, you know, hindsight, it was exactly how it was supposed to plan out, right? Because he resonated really well with the people in the audience based off the conversation and the topic that he had versus the way I was able to present it, which was still nice, but it just didn't resonate with the people, and that's okay. And so what ended up happening when I look back at history, in the time, I didn't know what I was doing, honestly, but like now when I look back, I'm like, man, I'm so glad I did. I kept pivoting. I kept saying, okay, if that wasn't what people wanted, what do they want me to, you know, share with them? And so like I kept trying different avenues of showing up on YouTube, and I finally found one that worked really, really well. And that also took a little time to accept as well. But what was really important was not comparing myself. Instead, what I did is I compared myself to me and said, okay, what can I do better? The data is telling me that I can try something different and see what the results would be instead of just completely giving up. And it was hard, right? Like I wanted to give up a couple of times as well because I was comparing myself to other people. And I know people are going to just naturally do that regardless, but if we are paying attention, if you're listening to this podcast and you're being aware of it, that's going to help you out. So it's not going to be, honestly, I don't think it's possible to like fully not compare ourselves to people, but I think when we're aware that we are potentially doing that, we can mitigate it as much as possible. Now, the other part of this is the oversaturation part of things, right? So a lot of people, when I talk to them, they're like, YouTube's oversaturated. The niche I want to talk about is oversaturated. All this stuff, oversaturated. And I think that is a mindset, right? And one of the things I want to dispel first and foremost is that there's a rotation that happens a lot of times with how people present themselves or show up on YouTube. And eventually some people might not be talking about those topics anymore over time. And you might be the newcomer that showcases things in a different way. But just in truth, you will show up in a different way than everybody else. Your voice, your history, your experiences will show up differently than anybody else because nobody has your experience. And you're going to resonate with people, even if that niche feels like it's overwhelming or just oversaturated. And so from my perspective, I don't think there's ever going to be too much in one space, so long as you are showing up authentically the way that you have experienced life to be able to share with people, whether it's tutorials, whether it's, you know, how to's, whether it's, you know, examples that you're giving off to people or your life story that you're sharing with people. But I think for the most part, when we're wanting to go through this process and be successful and thriving on YouTube, it's because we're authentic and we're also paying attention to our mindset when it comes to saturation, when it comes to comparison, when it comes to worrying about being, you know, perfect on screen, you know, the mindset of like running our business as well as, you know, just the beginning mindset of even not starting. So paying attention to all these things will lead you in the right direction in that space. So the second reason is that people do not niche down. And I get this. There's a lot of contrary things. And I do think that sometimes it's true and outliers out there that will niche down and will become successful. And I think that's fantastic and I'm happy for them. And I think for majority of the content creators out there, when you're not niching down, then it's going to be harder for you to gain traction early on. And then that's going to be that spell that people are going to run into and then end up wanting to quit because they don't see that traction. So I actually see it as an advantage to keep up momentum is by staying niche down. And I know the struggle that a lot of people get into, which is when you are getting started and you're thinking about a niche, then you start worrying about a couple different things. One, you're like, well, you know, I have a lot of different parts of my personality I want to share. Great. I think that's fantastic. And then two, there's also this whole idea of like, well, if I niche down, I'm going to have a very limited amount of things to talk about. Also, I get that. You know, and that could be true too. So let's talk about those. So first off, this idea that like we want to share a lot of parts of us and who we are, I think that's a great thing. Actually, I think it's really cool. I actually have a sibling who does YouTube as well, and I support her in how she's kind of showing up on YouTube. And what's really cool is she took two different things, two different types of niches, and kind of blended them together, but really made it her own and understood that she's not going to have the masses. She's not going to have millions of subscribers, but she will have a very dedicated audience for the things that she's doing because of the way she's blending these two niches together. So you can go that route. You can also realize that for a lot of people, when you go into a specific niche, and when I'm talking about niche, I'll break this down in a second, but like you can eventually break out of those things and kind of break some of the rules we talk about because you will have authority on YouTube. And once you have authority, you can open up a little bit more, talk about different things. I have friends who started off in the finance niche like I did, but then ended up being a whole different niche in general on their YouTube channel. Some of them went into more like personality channels as well. And you can do those things once you have that audience because you'll have the space to do it versus starting from scratch as a personality channel or like a multi-niche channel. Like it becomes very difficult to kind of get a little bit of a foothold, so to speak. And then the other part of that, which is not a lot to talk about, I actually think this is contrary to what most people think, but I actually think that when you niche down really really well, that you end up having a lot more breakdown on nuance in that niche than you would otherwise. Because, for example, I've actually seen a YouTube channel that's focused on one particular app on the App Store, and they do all the tutorials on how to utilize the app, how to functionally make it effective for that person. And that channel has done really, really well. I think they, in less than like 40 videos, they gained over like 5,000 subscribers, which is a really good ratio when you consider like how difficult it is to get that many subscribers. And if they really wanted to niche out of that, or get out of that niche, but like stay in that genre of apps, they could do that now. But I think they came up faster because they were so focused on one app. And when they started focusing on this one app, they were able to break down this app in so many different spaces of like how to do very nuanced things that most people will skip making the content for because they feel like it's not worth it. But the way I see it is, if you're helping people in your niche with like the little things, the little stuff that might seem unimportant or not worth your time because not a lot of people are needing the help in that area, and you're the only one making the content for it because you're so niche down in your topic, you become an authority so fast, which is what I think happened to this person, is they became an authority so fast because they were helping people on this app. It's a pretty complex app overall, but they were helping people on like the little minute things that you wouldn't even think of that might need support, or sometimes you might think you wouldn't need the support, but other people do. And that person was there to answer every single freaking question you could think of on this app, and did weekly updates on using the app for their own personal use, which then helped people give more trust that this person knew what they were talking about when it came to the tutorials. And again, like I can understand why this channel grew so quickly and kind of broke out of the norm of how many, you know, videos it took to get that many subscribers. And so for this, I think it's really key. I think it's niching down is going to be a reason why, well, not niching down, I would say, is a reason why most YouTube channels fails, because yeah, they're trying to be themselves, which is totally understandable. But then if you're trying to make this as a business, like you know that you get to be hyper-focused on one thing for the beginning. So you could be really good at this one thing and then over time pivot out, talk about other things in that niche, maybe even blend other niches if you wanted to, or, you know, completely go into the more personal type of channel if you wanted to as well, once you build that out. So just something to think about when you're there. Now, here's a really cool thing too. To join this 10% that thrive on YouTube, listening to this podcast, I think you're also going to be one step ahead of a lot of other people. And my personal experience as well has been, when I started my main channel that became successful back in 2017, I didn't have it niche down. I thought I was niche because I was in personal finance. And as time went on, I started to become niche, and I got even more niche, and I became really effective at what I was doing. And then I kind of got to break out of that niche a little bit. And then I even found out that there were other topics I wanted to talk about, and I tried to release them on that main channel. And I quickly realized it was actually better to have separate YouTube channels, which is why I run 4 YouTube channels now. 4 or 5. I'm starting to lose count now of different niches, because I felt it was more appropriate to have them in separate spaces, where the main channel is a little bit more broad than it used to be in the past, but now I have authority to do those kind of things. So even my personal experience, I've seen it be successful, and I've seen it from other channels be successful, is that niche down early on, be pretty specific. The more specific you get, the better, honestly, and then break out of that as well too. Like I said, I've seen a channel focus on one topic exclusively, one app, and she got over, with 40 videos, got over 5,000 subscribers. That's really, really good. And now if she breaks out of that, I wouldn't be surprised if she stays successful beyond that as well. Now, the next reason here, so reason number 3, is focusing on the wrong results. I think a lot of people, when they go into YouTube, they really care about subscribers. And I understand, from like a mentality standpoint and just getting started kind of standpoint, why like YouTube subscribers would matter. And to some extent they do. They do give you some authority in the space. But I would say that not focusing on the right results causes people to really kind of give up early on, because they're, again, not seeing those results. And so people focus on subscriber counts, and they focus on low view counts, which I find very fascinating, especially now that I've been in the space for long enough to know that you don't need a lot of views to get the right audience members, especially if you have affiliates that you work with, which we talk about in other episodes, or if you have brands that you want to work with that sometimes understand that it's a very niche topic. And so they sometimes will actually pay you much more than if you were a much more broad spectrum type of channel. And so when it comes to looking at your data and like understanding like what's important and what's not important, again, I understand why subscriber count might seem pretty advantageous to aim for because it is a metric that you can kind of keep track of. But it is also like, it has like a double-edged sword to it because it gets exciting early on to be like, oh, I want to get to 100 subscribers. And then, you know, 3 months in, you're at 40 subscribers and then you're feeling like it's a daunting task to even continue on. But one, subscriber count usually is kind of like a snowball effect where early on it seems like it's not really going anywhere or growing that much. But as time goes on, more and more people subscribe to a channel that already has subscribers. It's like a built-in trust system. So you tend to have a quicker access to higher numbers once you really start building out. And again, staying consistent will also be in support of that as well too, because if you're making one video a month, it's not going to be as easy to gain subscribers more often than not than if you're making a lot more content, ideally, you know, even once a week, because of the amount of videos that are going to be out there working in your favor in that space. So for me, I wouldn't worry about subscribers. I also wouldn't worry about the low view count necessarily early on. There are going to be times where you do want to pay attention to like what's working and what's not working, because that's going to help pivot you. But I think early on, I think the biggest focus you should focus on is the number of videos you actually have, because that's going to be a huge indicator for you. If you have 10 videos and you're trying to put it all together and see the results, that's not a lot of data points. But if you have 100 videos, you can really start to see like what's working, what's not working for your channel. What do people care about? What people don't care about? So for channels that are successful, honestly, more often than not, it's going to be because of the volume of content they have rather than the quality of the content early on. Some channels will break that rule, right? They'll release like 3 videos and make 100,000 subscribers, whatever. But for the majority of us, it is going to be a volume-based game. So for wanting to see the results, the best thing you can do is have content to get the results, right? If you have 100 videos, it's going to be easier to see. Again, it's going to be so much easier to see your what's working, what's not working, versus if you have 10 videos. You're not going to get a lot of good points. So make a lot of content, and that should be the thing you focus on for results, is how many videos have I released so I can see the views, the subscribers coming in, and not worry about those things early on. Like, I would almost tell people, avoid how many subscribers you have and avoid the amount of views and just make the content. Just keep making videos and keep releasing them. Make videos, release them. Use the Kaizen method, improve 1% at a time, and then release a video. Make a video, release it, improve 1%, make a video, release it, improve 1%. And then you're going to start seeing really good results. Get to 25 videos and then maybe start looking at some of your stuff. Get to 50 videos and then start looking at more of your data. Look at 100, make 100 videos and then start looking at your data, because then you're going to start seeing results. But if you got 10 videos and that's all you got, and you're, you know, worried about, you know, how many subscribers you have and how many views you have, you're playing the wrong game. You want to keep making content before you really care about the results, just because you're not going to have enough to really make it an impact as a whole. And this actually goes to point number 4. So I kind of blended these together a little bit. My apologies. So number 4 is not being consistent. And I cannot tell you how many people I've constantly talked to when it comes to like them getting excited about doing YouTube, even starting to do YouTube. And then they just stop. But like, not just stop because they're not seeing the results. They stop because they're not consistent. And what I mean by consistent is in that 6 month time period before they quit, they were not making a video a week like they said they were going to make. Right? They were like, oh, I'll make a video a week. And then they ended up making 4 videos in that 6 month period. That's not consistent. Consistent is saying, hey, I'm going to be making a video a week. Obviously, if you skip a week, or if you have to release 2 in 1 week and not release 1 in a week, you know, that's fine. But like, staying consistent, because what happens is you're building up experience and skills that really have a huge, huge impact on there. If I was still making videos today at the same capacity that I was on day 1 of my main YouTube channel, that would be wild. Like, the amount of time it takes me now to make 1 video is substantially less, whether it's because I've exported out some of the tasks or just because I've gotten so much better in this process because of the Kaizen method. I've just been improving. I've learned skills. I've gotten templates down. I've had all these things in place because I saw this as a business. I knew that I had to stay consistent with it. When I started, I did do 3 a week, which was pretty grueling. I don't know if I'd recommend that for people, but knowing what I know now, especially if you are trying to build out an evergreen content piece channel that produces income consistently, then you could just be doing really short videos that are evergreen, that teach people something, that help people understand something, that break something down very quickly for them. And you could do those in small bursts and have them in between maybe some of your more larger videos that you're really, really excited to make as well too, because the biggest thing with momentum on YouTube is that when you're building out video after video after video, that is going to help people have a library for them to binge. And then it's going to go back to number three, which we talked about earlier, which is then you're going to have data that you can actually pay attention to, because you're going to see what's working and what's not working by staying consistent. And consistent's not for 1 month. Consistent is like 6 months, and you're starting to see something happening with your data because you're staying consistent with the content that you're releasing as well. And then number five, and I think this is probably the biggest one. So number five on reasons why 90% of YouTube channels fail is because they do not have a community. And when I mean community, I'm not talking about them building a community for their subscribers. I'm talking about a community of other like-minded individuals who are aiming for similar goals or are working towards a similar path. And this was me as well. When I first started, I was just doing it all on my own. Didn't have anybody else to really talk to about it. I shared it with my family. They were excited for me, but they didn't understand, obviously, the journey I was on. And, you know, it took a little bit of time, but luckily I got to a point where I ended up building out a small group of people where we would meet on a regular basis and essentially created a mastermind with other content creators on YouTube by reaching out to them, emailing them, and kind of connecting. And this, I think, was honestly the secret sauce to sticking to it, because as great as I was able to do it on my own for about a year and some change, I know that I just know if I hadn't built out that community of like-minded content creators, I probably would not have stuck out the next year and a half or 2 years that had been really difficult, but had been in community. So people were able to support me when I wasn't doing great, and I was able to support them when they weren't doing great. And one of them actually said it, and I love this, is there was a time where he was having a difficult time while he was in this community from his own channel. And he was like, man, I really want to quit right now. He's like, but I know that if I quit today, a year from now, I'm going to see all of you continuing on and being successful. So I'm not going to quit. And that really solidified how impactful and how important having a community like that was, because of those kind of things, right? Like we want to strive for being better and improving, and having that kind of community that understands you is so vital in that process. So whether you want to reach out to other content creators to kind of come together, ideally try to find people in the niche that you're in, and don't be hesitant to reach out to people that have more subscribers than you. Most people that have a lot of subscribers or more subscribers than you actually do want to have that kind of community, just because it is so impactful. And for me, I actually love working with people who are kind of in the midst of growing on their channel, because I know that the struggles that come with, you know, being on YouTube. So I've actually connected with people who recently went full time, and it was just really fun to kind of hear their journey and hear their insights, because they see things a little different than I do now that I've been working on full time on my own for the last 5 years. And so it's just really cool to be in community with other people. And honestly, I think that more than everything else, almost for the most part, is the secret sauce to continuing once you get started. So, you know, get started, build out the content, build out the consistency, stick with it past that 6 months, but like actually be making the content. And honestly, around that 6 month time period, maybe start looking for a community of people, so that way you can be in contribution, but then also be in receiving as well, because I think that's just going to be so important. Now, everything we talked about here today is obviously to help you continue on with your YouTube journey, so that way you can be part of that 10% that thrive, that bring in income and make passive income through YouTube. And if you want any of the resources that we utilize or talk about in some of these podcast episodes, I'll have them in the show notes for you. So make sure you check those out. Those do help support our podcast, so we can continue to make content just like this for you. Until next time. I'll see you later.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.